and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming. I don't think we're having a public comment here tonight.
Empty chairs.
I think we can move right on into our consent agenda. Everyone's had a chance to look at it, right? Anyone want to pull anything?
The only thing I'd like to pull off are the minutes of the June 8 meeting. For comment.
The reopening, July 8th, right?
Reorg or business?
A reorganization meeting, that's right.
Okay.
Okay, just the reorg meeting.
Is that on here?
Yeah, they're together.
Yes, right.
They both say June.
Oh, good catch. It should say July.
I didn't see July.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
Where is it, June?
It says June on the agenda.
Oh, on the agenda?
That's a good catch, Bob, thank you.
Absolutely.
That would have been the last meeting anyway.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so that's the only one who want to pull. Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion made second. Any other comments or concerns?
Oh, I can't do that, I'm not supposed to vote on the MECC lease.
Right.
Well, if you want, we can pull that off to a separate.
We'll do that.
I guess we have to do that separate.
Okay, we'll pull 6A off.
Right.
Okay. Anything else on the consent agenda as mentioned?
That's it.
Do I hear a...
So I move as amended.
Okay. Been made second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any disagreements? Does the ayes have it? Now, Bob, you want to finish back down on that one you were talking about?
Yeah, just to prove to Tracy that once in a while I read these things.
I appreciate it.
Oh, page 2 of the reorganization meeting, July 8th. Top of the second page. So you go from election of board officers. Mrs. Trott asked for nomination on the bottom of page 1.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nomination of the officers, the president of board of education.
Yep.
And then I believe I made the motion for Bill to be our president. And I think Kirsten seconded it. That should be in there.
Yeah.
And then you have a roll call vote. So that was not...
Okay.
That motion was not signed.
Yep.
And you don't want Bill to serve here for a year on law.
If he wasn't nominated.
Yep.
We elected him when he wasn't nominated.
Now, the other question I had on the reorg meeting was... Looks like...
Thank you.
Now, let's go back to the consent, the regular meeting. I have absolutely no memory of moving 15 times, 10 or 15 times to appoint all these folks.
That was in the consent agenda.
So if you second the consent agenda, then you move each time.
On every star resolution. Yeah. So if you do consent.
One motion covers everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Other than that, if you get the one thing inserted.
Certainly. I'll look back.
I want you to know I read these.
That's good. And you know what? I have to do it for the next one down below too. So that's good. Board book. I'll look back on the tapes. Thank you.
My Bible.
Okay. So that's all correct. You want to make the motion to accept that? Okay. Motion's made.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Bob?
Aye. I'm busy with my fudge here.
Anything under other for personnel? No? Okay. Delegations? Oh, no, sorry. No delegations, I see.
No.
Okay. Now, if we want to move to on business and operations, A, can I hear a motion for that one?
Can you just let the record show that I will abstain from that vote? Thank you.
I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent school, be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves a revised NECC lease between Northeast Weaverton School District and Northeast Community Center from July 1, 2013 through June 30, 2014, at a rate of $1,000 per month, and directs the board president to sign the approved lease.
Second.
Okay. Motion made, second. I just want to, are they using the office now?
It's in there.
It's in the revised. Okay. I went by the other night there, and the lights were on upstairs.
What time?
Probably about 8 o'clock at night.
Possibly they had an English as a second language class.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Well, because I also went in one morning, the day I got called for the 911 down here. Yeah. I stopped there first. I didn't know which building it was at. The lights were on downstairs there that day. That was on a Sunday morning. But I don't know. But no, I mentioned to Bobby, so I said, Bobby, when you go up and check the building in the morning, just please check the lights, make sure they're on. That's all.
They do have an evening English as a second language class.
Okay, so I imagine it's upstairs, I assume.
I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, that's fine. As long as we, because 1 year we just, our electric bills are really outstanding. Okay, so we're.
So the other thing, when you went in the morning and the lights were on, that was some time ago though, and maybe you already mentioned that.
2 weeks ago. I mentioned to Bobby just because he said, we send someone up there every day to check the building.
Oh.
So I said, please just check the lights in the morning downstairs. Yeah, he doesn't go upstairs. He just goes in, checks the furnace, I believe, and checks the
building. The downstairs, the lower area?
The lower
floor. Not the classroom area.
Not the classroom. That was right in like where the old stage was.
Yes.
Lights were on there. Okay.
I don't think they even use that, so that's a little troublesome.
They don't. Could it be some of our summer workers have been in and out there?
Okay.
Well, that's good to know, because I've said it to them. So I think they're being very conscientious.
But I just want to mention so they're aware of it again. Okay. So I'd say it was 4 o'clock in the morning when I go there. So. Okay, so motion made, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything under other for business and operations?
Question, too, and this is for you, Bill. What procedure do you have to appoint committees to serve the board?
I go down through, I look at the list of what they requested, and then I go through and see what we have available. And
okay, I just didn't know, maybe I missed the meeting. I didn't know that I could request something.
Oh, you have the
there was a form to fill out in our reorg packet to say which committees you wanted to be in.
Last month's package?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The reorg package.
Reorg package.
Okay, I'll find it. I'll get
okay,
it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, we're still going to keep you on a safety committee. Well, we know you like that one.
Yeah. Put me on
we drafted you to that one.
Safety grounds and legislative liaison. Okay. But you can remember that.
Okay.
Save me digging that up.
Okay.
Don't put me on a policy.
Why? You like that one too?
I will immediately resign from the board.
Oh, threats.
Although that may be a way to get rid of it.
That's extortion.
All right. So, nothing else under business and operations. Okay, now Board of Education report from the legal conference.
Okay, there was a lot of, as there always is, I highly recommend NISPA conferences. They have excellent staff. They always give you useful information. And this one's on legal aspects. And there was, I'm going to bring them in and give them to Jim to distribute. One section was on the responsibilities of a board member because there were some new board members there and several board members who had been in for a while. They were very careful to point out for new board members that an individual board member has absolutely zero authority to request anything from the superintendent, any administrator. They have no more power or authority than any other person who's out in the public. And since no one is here, I have concerns about that relevant to that with the process that went on with interviewing the principals. I mean, from what I hear, you asked to visit the committees, not only the community committee, but the other committees too. You're
directing your comments to me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's not something we can do afterwards. The board had agreed that we would interview the candidates and then they would be put out to the other committees. And one board member shouldn't decide on their own to change the rules afterwards, because it's not really reasonable.
Well, okay. Do you want me to respond?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I thought it was a very important job that we had. And I can't say much about the importance of that job, because the administrators that we pick are key to what gets done down here.
I think every board member would agree with you on that.
I had thought to myself that these things were going to be in public, okay, and in the library, and open to the public. That I didn't know what kind of time I would have that day, if I could get down here or not. Last minute, I juggled my calendar around. I said, well, I'll go down and listen. It's open to the public. And I walked in. At first, I checked the library. Nothing going on here. This was over at Jim's office. So I went over to Jim's office. And Jim wondered why I was there, and I told him, I just want to, I'll have a second shot at looking at these people. And Jim said, well, have you checked this with Bill? And I said, no, I didn't know I had to. I thought these meetings were public. But I called Bill and discussed it with him. I said, well, again, I consider it very important, one of the most important things we do, and I have an opportunity to sit down and listen again. So that's what I did. Now, to answer your question, your issue specifically, we had no policy that board members could not attend these, number one. Number two, if there was such a policy, I didn't know about it. We had no written policy on that subject, and I don't think any board member should be precluded under any circumstance from taking as hard a look as you can at these candidates. I did not sit in on all three.
You wouldn't have been allowed to sit on the other two, and that's part of what I wanted to get across.
Well, I didn't sit on the other two. I sat on the committee member thing.
Community member.
Honored and interesting. Literally changed my mind about one of the candidates based upon her responses. And I thought it was important for me to do that, and I thought that was part of my responsibility to try to get the best leadership down here that we can get. That's all.
And what were the three groups? I thought they were...
One was administrative, the other were teachers. Oh. And I walked into Jim's office, and he had the members, or the community people in there. So I sat down.
So I would have thought, I would have assumed like you, that they were open to the public. That would have been my assumption, and I've been on those before.
I've been on them too.
And we were in classrooms.
Community, yes. But not the administrators or the teachers. The only people that attend those are either teachers or administrators. They're not really open to the public. It's a process, and especially for the administrators, that's part of their contract, that they get to interview any new administrators that come. You're not an administrator, you don't get to be in that committee.
And is it part of the teacher's contract? I don't recall.
It's not part of the teacher's contract.
And so I know that in other districts, that it is part of, they've bargained for it. And so it's a right and a responsibility they have, and we don't have that here with our teachers. But I didn't realize, I guess, that the administrators...
But by virtue of calling it a teacher's interview committee, I mean, we make these people go to three different committees. If you're going to start intermixing all of them, we probably need to discuss how we do it then, because if you're trying to get input from the teachers, having people other than teachers on that committee also is probably not reasonable. You're not, don't call it a teacher's committee then. Call it something else.
Yeah, I guess I'm uninformed, because I didn't realize, I thought when we had the conversations with you, and you and I were in, I think, some agreement about, let us not have, I mean, we're just looking for their input and their feedback. Yeah. We're not looking for them to make some kind of executive decision, but I think setting it up like, this is the teachers' committee, this is the public committee, kind of makes it look like that, rather than we're just looking for interested stakeholders can come and take a look. I would have assumed.
Well, I think sometimes, but if you look at it that way, the teachers ask different questions. that community members will ask. Okay, so I think it's good that way. But also get back to with Bob. When Bob called me, I said, Bob, if, as long as you're there, I see you just sitting there, just kind of like take the feet and don't interact with them, don't ask questions, right?
Yeah, and I...
You were able to do that?
I was unable to do
it. No, he was unable to do it.
And here's what happened.
Surprise!
I got stuck. They had scripted questions, okay? And they all decided who was going to ask what questions. These were 20-minute interviews. The first candidate, they got through their scripted questions and got their answers within about 10 minutes. And then they all looked at me and said, Mr. Trotter, do you have any questions?
He should have said no, I'm here tonight.
And there was 10 minutes left. We're going to sit
there. Did Ella or the entire committee?
Pardon?
Did Ella or the entire committee ask Ella. You if you had... She's the president of the PTA. She was the chair of that committee.
I wasn't...
No, he said he was with the administrators.
No,
I was with the community.
Oh, okay.
I was with the community.
Okay.
So I popped a few questions.
And how many were on that?
What?
How many were on that?
Six.
Six?
I think there was six. Yeah.
See, I heard from two community members wondering why a board member was there. And I'm not saying we're not allowed to, you know, I mean, I realize we're not unclean. We're allowed. We are still citizens. We are allowed to do things. But I think that when we go into something, first of all, we know things about these candidates that the community doesn't. Because
yeah,
we've gotten to see their resumes, and the community does not.
Most of which had to do with literacy.
Well, but all I'm saying is that I think it changes the nature of it. And I may be the only person that feels that way.
My feeling was if I
could just finish.
And listen.
I may be the only person that feels that way, but there are...
I only intended to listen. And then I said,
let me know when I can go and talk. The only thing is, it changes the nature of it. Because when a board member is there, the candidate is going to act differently because they know you have a say.
Well, I told each... Bob, please, can I...
Go ahead. And the community acts differently.
Yeah.
And again, I may be the only person that feels that way, but I think we need to discuss it is all I'm getting at, and I think we need to come up with... Because Jim had asked us, do you want to meet with the candidates again? And we said no.
The table. I said, I'm a board, introduce myself. You go around the table, everybody, introduce. So what am I going to do, say nothing? Bob Trott, I'm a board member, and I'm going to not ask any questions. I started with that statement
and
each one of them.
Did.
And then they ran out of the scripted questions, and what are we going to do?
Done.
It's not like you have
done.
To, yeah, I mean, they could get a few minutes for to actually think before they
questions.
Go to the next one.
So.
But two community members were uncomfortable with it, I'll tell you that right now.
I don't care.
My only point is... What's that?
Who was uncomfortable? The candidates?
No, the community members who came in thinking that...
They're the ones that asked me to ask questions. So.
Okay.
All right.
I learned something.
Anyway, so that's one thing, and we can discuss that if this comes up again, which I
if you do this, if you do
it
again, I think I served on one of these one time too. We had about five people on a committee, and there had to have been eight or nine committees interviewing for superintendent, and then we all had to write it up afterwards. But my memory is there were other administrators were sitting in on those things. I know Dale was hanging around in the doorway. Popping comments. Okay.
He may very well not have been on the board. He hasn't been on the board forever.
He was not on one of these committees. So, as far as I know, these things are public. And they really ought to be public, particularly with the one with the community.
Okay.
And they ought to be televised.
Okay. That was my statement for what it's worth. There were other things. There was a session on superintendent evaluations, which was actually very good. They had a president of the board, well, former president of the board, because she's not president of the board now, and a superintendent who had gotten the evaluation from that. They had a wonderful evaluation document, which they had worked very hard at redoing and had been using for the last couple of years. I'm going to bring that in so we can make copies of it for everybody to see, because it had... I mean, it's not like it's going to take us all night to fill out, but instead of just generalities, there were some really good sub-questions that I think would be really useful for improving the input that a superintendent gets from the board so that the superintendent knows what you're happy with or what you're not happy with, and a board member gets to say what you're happy with and not happy with. So I'm going to bring in a lot of this stuff to copy so that everybody can get it in their packet. There were decisions. There was a segment on recent decisions in courts that impact the way things are done. Pine Plains was brought up as an example, of course, of how things go badly if you do not the Dignity for All Students Act. You have to take very seriously training, etc. It reminded me that, of course, we did not have any training, I don't think, in the high school this year.
We didn't. We have it already actually scheduled for next year, though. Worked on it today. But
good. And some changes where boards need to change their policy. There's a sample code of ethics policy that the NISBA gives away, even though we do have access to their policy section because we're paying for it. And there were some recent decisions that financially might affect the districts, but there was a lot of good, solid information that I hate to waste paper and I hate to spend the district's resources, but I think this would be really valuable for everybody to have copies of, so I'm going to bring the packet down. So that was that.
Just a quick question. We did sanction or launch or, I don't know what we did, something empowered, like a gay student, gay lesbian student alliance, mm-hmm. right? Okay, and that has a faculty advisor or?
It does. Okay. It's not a paid position at this point because they started it with student interest last year, and this is NOAC. Took it on as the faculty advisor. They have not come to the point where they've come to the board yet to ask to have that added.
Which official that close status, yeah.
Okay.
That's the next step.
All right. Anything else, Madden? Also?
No, I think that's it.
I just have one thing before we go to executive session board retreat, August 12th. Is that acceptable to everybody?
Sorry.
Are we in public session?
I think so. I have to look. Oh, and actually, let me look at my phone for the list of myriad things that I need to ask about what's happening. CSEA contract. And I have mentioned this to you. We are now months after the settlement, and we have no contract, even though we said this was not going to happen yet.
We wanted 30 days.
We did.
And this needs to be taken care of. So if they have problems with the changes that were made that were simply, and again, I mean, they're saying, well, we didn't agree to that. We agreed to clean up the language. If there's a specific thing I changed that they think is a problem, because as far as I know, Jay didn't have any problem with anything I changed since we sent it to him first, then we need to just have a quick meeting with them and work it through and get this done, because I'm really unhappy with, again, not having a contract there.
Barbara's out this week, but we did email Bob O'Connor last week and request a meeting with you, me, Bob, and Barbara.
Okay.
He didn't respond to that, but nonetheless, I told him, I had sent him an email earlier anyway, saying we wanted to be able to give a paper copy to everybody, every employee, by September 1st. Same thing with the teacher's contract. That one is done. It's in Jay Gervin's hands right now for his first reading of it. And then they'll send it on to Peter Stelling and then back to us.
Let's get it done.
So that one supposedly is, shouldn't say supposedly, that one is much closer to the finish line.
Right. Okay. And the other thing is, you mentioned that we were going to have to move some extra funds into some extra money that was left over into another fund. Oh, actually, that's one thing I did want to tell everybody too from the legal conference. There's a decision from the Department of Ed for this year only that if a district has extra funds in the retirement fund system, if they're overfunded more than they need to have in there, we can use those funds to maintain program if we run short for any reason, without having any penalty, without being cited, It's an extra source without worrying about the 2% cap or whatever. So it's an extra way if something goes really downhill somewhere to be able to maintain the program. So that, and I did mention that to Jim because that's a good possibility.
But we're not overfunded, are we?
We have a very healthy other post-employee benefits reserve fund, which is that's the fund they're referring to.
Yeah.
And we did get cited by our auditors for the past 2 years for not using it for what it was designed for. It's designed to pay retirement costs.
Designed to pay what, Jim?
To pay retirement costs for employees. So we've not done that, we've just paid those costs out of the general fund. So we did put into the budget this year $150,000, you may recall that, from budget development, out of that fund.
Oh, so you already returned the funds to general?
Some, but I don't have the figure on the top of my head.
Was $150,000 included in the budget, our budget process?
So what does this all mean?
With income?
We have extra money right now.
No, not extra money, we have reserves.
Because on one hand, our auditors say we have too much in the account. On the other hand, the state says we're not 100% funded yet, so we're not really with legal compliance with them.
I don't think so, because the auditors are going by the state's guidelines.
They want us to use it and then replenish it.
But why did the state send us memo down last year saying we were not in compliance with funding the retirement system?
Because we had too much.
No, we didn't have enough.
I'd be interested to see that letter.
Jim, how is
the
income
know how much is supposed to be in there
from that fund? Is that... it earns money.
I don't remember seeing that.
If it gets interest,
I don't remember that we weren't funded enough.
The board, at some prior point, would have decided to put unappropriated fund balance into those reserve funds through the years. That's where they come from. That's what we've talked about with the bus reserve this year. Mm-hmm. Mary and Val are still finishing up with adding in the revenues and the expenses, and that will all happen in August. Mary will bring to you in August.
Let me try to boil the question down that I have. Do the retirees reap the benefit of the interest that is earned by those?
No, the school district does.
They do not. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they would.
The other thing is, we had two repayments of funds from court decisions that went against the school district this year, at least two. There may have been ones earlier, too. Were those paid from the certiorari reserve fund, or were those paid from the general fund?
Talking legal fees?
The refunds we had to make from the taxes because an assessment.
I don't know that answer, but I'll find out.
Okay. Because I suspect it was paid from the general fund, and that's something that ought to be done from the certiorari reserve fund.
Tax issues up there quite a little right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of pending cases still.
We do.
A lot of the big corporations are off.
But by law, we're not allowed to just keep the money and not use it for what we can refund it at the end of the year, but we're not allowed to ignore the fact that it's there. So the extra funds that need to go somewhere, when does that get taken care of?
That gets taken care of in August when everything is finalized, so the board will make the decision. We have the second meeting in August. What to do with that money to put it into the bus reserves, and at this time it's looking like it's more than what we thought it would be.
And how much money is that?
I'm hesitant to say because there's still other factors.
Kirsten, ask him what the range is.
No, I know it's over $80,000.
It was projected to be around 80 last year. We will have our 4% appropriated fund balance, which is $819,000. That's our money that we use to operate. Like, for example, the teacher's contract is settled, but it wasn't budgeted for. But we'll take that money out of the appropriated fund balance. Mm-hmm. But beyond the 819, that's the money that would go into the bus reserve for next year, or wherever the board decides to put.
And actually, there is something else I want to talk about, because while this isn't technically board, I kind of flew past it, and I apologize for that. It should have been in curriculum, but I'm not sure we even had a curriculum today. The AP statistics. I'd really like the board to consider, we need to look carefully at what bang we're getting for our buck here. There's nobody who doesn't get a 4 or a 5 gets credit for it now. On some of these, I can live with saying, okay, it's the equivalent of an honors course or whatever, although I'm not entirely sure that's true. But okay, I could live with that. But one in particular sticks out at me, and it's because I am a math person. That's where my training was. That's where my son's training is. AP statistics is useless if you don't get credit for it. It's that simple, because it just doesn't... I feel myself, we have dismal results from the AP statistics exams.
So you got a 4 in order to get
a 4 or a 5, yep. Mm-hmm. And so like every year we have about one kid who makes it if that.
Why is that?
It's hard. That's the other thing I wanted to say. I'm not sure that high school kids are actually ready for that. I mean, I've taken it. I took it with my son when he needed it. I remember, now we didn't have these AP courses because I left, anyway, I graduated school early. When I went, it's far more sophisticated than people think, statistics. It's not a simple thing. It requires a fairly good grounding in theoretical math. I'm not sure these kids are actually ready for that when they take it. And I mean, we're spending, you know, $20,000 for a course that out of 8 kids, one gets. Out of 19 kids, one gets. Out of 10 kids, you know, 3 got it that year. That was terrific. Out of 10, 2 get. I mean, you can take it at Dutchess for $375. I'm not sure we're doing anything useful with that one. That's all.
You know, I don't know, but I think there's more to it. You do get, I mean, we don't know what these kids' grades, this is their grade on an exam that they, you know,
right.
Their score on an exam. They still took the class. I'm assuming.
But when they go to college, they'll have to retake it because they get no credit for it.
I just don't think that's such a terrible thing, but I don't know. I did have the experience in my when I took AP English, I choked on the exam and I didn't get credit for it. I got a 3 and I didn't get college credit for it. I don't know. It was still my English class. It was my senior year English class, so I got high school credit for it, and I, you know, got a taste of doing college level work, and mm-hmm. I think it probably strengthens your college applications to be enrolled in an AP class. So
somewhat, and that's why I'm not knocking the idea of that. That's why I started by saying I think you can make a case that it's sort of an honors class in the others, but Mr. Harvey is one of our best math teachers. We have kids who could seriously benefit from having a good math teacher. And every year, at least one of his course schedules is devoted to something that gives very little practical benefit. I'm not saying there's no benefit to taking it. I hope there is. I haven't been in it. What I'm saying is that there's very little practical result from it. And if we're going to try to help raise kids in other ways, I'd love to see us have an honors math class in one of those years or something,
well,
and try to move kids forward.
Interesting to find out from a college perspective what would be more valuable for our kids, you know, applications and success getting in, if it's the honors class or the AP class. But I don't know, but I do know, I mean, that seems to be an important thing to offer that parents, I don't know.
Specifically statistics, or you're just saying AP courses?
AP courses in general,
but
I don't
I'm not
know who
that.
I am to go pick and choose through them, what's what. I mean, I'd be careful about that. I think that I'm not qualified, or I don't have the information to say.
I think at least part of our decision in terms of allocating resources now, bio also does dismally, but again, I mean, we're getting to the stage very quickly where we're not going to be able to offer kids everything they want. We already can, and I mean that's part of what went with music and everything else. I think at some point, at the very least, maybe we ought to ask the math department to come to us with a statement of whether maybe we ought to ask kids what they would be interested in. And I agree. I mean, we can certainly go to Dutchess Community and New Paltz and you know some local schools that because they're state are likely to actually answer us. And say, you know, if a kid takes AP Calc and AP History, is it going to be specifically that you're going to see statistics as a real necessary thing? and, you know, and just see what they say. That's all. I don't want us to get so wedded into the idea that this is good for kids on their college education that we short kids who could really benefit from some help from something that might be a little bit lower down on the scale of college versus high school, but get some really good, solid experience with a teacher who is capable of teaching these things. That's all.
So
I
is that who makes the determination, the teacher, like which kids are ready for that class?
Well, I can add.
No, we have open enrollment.
We have had open enrollment in these AEP courses, I think, for quite a few years. So
yeah.
There's been a lot of discussion as to putting a minimum, like for example, a 70 in biology before you can get into chemistry or something like that. Or there's been a lot of discussion of that. We did not do
yeah.
that because we have open enrollment. So there's
right.
some people would say that's why some of the scores are what you see, because
mm-hmm.
it's open enrollment.
Well,
and
yeah.
Numbers are so low.
Sure.
Just thinking.
And in terms of these issues, we did go to the math department this year. You may recall this conversation from earlier this year. I suggested that we come up with some companion course to AP Calc because it only has 4 kids in it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I had the math department start that conversation. And within 3, 4, 5 days, I had 8 juniors in the office telling me that the board and I were dropping AP Calc and we were reducing the AP courses and how could we do this. And the teachers were concerned that we wouldn't be having AP Calc and AP Stats. And you know, of course, when I do my thing and I showed them, I have it on the board there. Here are the numbers, you only have 4 kids. The idea was what other courses might be of more interest so we could schedule them every other year. And you know where that went, right back down the road with you're cutting AP courses.
And that's part of my problem. I don't mean to sound cynical. But if you ask a teacher, would you rather teach 28 kids in a math class or 24 kids in a math class who might not be the cream of the crop? Or would you rather teach 4 kids in a class that, you know what answer you're going to get?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not against offering...
I know what else, though. I know I'd like to be one of those 4 kids in that math class and not one of the 25 kids.
I agree, but I mean, out of these, Eric Harvey teaches, I believe, both statistics and calc, are by far our most experienced math teacher, is spending 2/5 of his class load teaching 12 kids. That's $40,000 for 12 kids. I'm not arguing that we drop all of it. I'm not arguing that we don't offer kids. I'm simply saying that at some point, we have a responsibility to the entire student body to try to help the kids who may not be at the stage where they can be rarefied. I mean,
that might be one thing. I don't know that going and looking at what the kids did on a test is where I would go for my, you know, to give strength to that argument. I just don't think how you do on that AP test, it's still your senior math class or your junior math class.
No, it's not. That's the whole point. This is above and beyond. AP Calc and AP Statistics are not the senior. That's after everything you need to graduate is done.
It's right. It's the math course you took your junior year or your senior year, though, because you did everything else, and
mm-hmm.
you're right. So how somebody did on that exam doesn't, you know, you choke on an exam. It's a learning process. It's your shot at a college-level class. You stayed up too late. How'd you do in the class? Was it a valuable class? Is this like, you know, what does it mean to you in terms of your college applications and how they're received and your admissions? I would want to be interested in that. I am interested in what you said, though, like staggering them. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, not offering every course every year. I think that's perfectly reasonable, but cutting it because not everybody passed it.
I don't think we were ever talking about cutting it.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying can we come up with something else that perhaps might enrich the kids more than a course. And I agree with you that that a test is not always the only
factor
or measurement, but when you're talking math, it's more of a factor or measurement. I mean, you can choke and not do it well on an essay or something, but there's, I mean, math, the answer's right or wrong. It's not
right.
Objective at all.
But you went for it. You went for a college-level class when you were a junior or a senior in high school. You get the college credit or you don't, but what does that have to do with?
Well, if we had kids passing all of the state assessments in fourth grade and eighth grade, I would say terrific, but we don't. And it would be nice if we could use some of our better teachers to help kids who need help. That's
can,
all.
Can other people weigh in on this?
Oh, well, of course.
Sure.
Let's look at it a little differently. I think that, I know in 1956, when I took the advanced math SATs and got a perfect score, it helped me tremendously getting into college. Okay? I think they still have an advanced math section that's optional on the SATs. Am I right or wrong on that, Jim?
They don't.
No.
They
don't. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I was fortunate. I had a Harvard mathematician pulled six of us out of the senior class and said, take my class, you'll all get perfect scores on the advanced math. We all got perfect scores on advanced math.
Yeah.
I mean, what a difference. So from a practical standpoint, I'd agree with Judy. I doubt you're going to find statistics on the SATs, but you are going to find a lot of math. Hey, and let's think about these kids and their SATs and what their scores are going to look like. So they can go to colleges, and the college of their choice, if they want, perhaps scholarships.
But saying, would you agree, I mean, we could say in... there's got to be a way to set that up. Like, you know, if you're...
Well, calculus, you know, would also be probably trigonometry. And probably just that calculus, I doubt that's full calculus. I guess it's introduction to calculus.
Yeah, it's like Calc 1. It's an introduction to differentiation and
integration. It could be, you know, the advanced math, I think, is pretty important when it comes to SATs. If you crack that the math portion of that SAT... colleges are going to take a serious look at you.
Is there some other prerequisite we can come up with before these kids enroll in these classes, aside from just completing their...
Well, what I'd like to do is hear something, again, from the math. And all of this is, I'm not trying to be the Grinch. I'm not trying to take away AP courses from kids who need them. I'm trying to be as fair as possible to kids who are struggling here. And as Bob said, I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could help raise the scores of kids who may be in the middle and with a little bump could do better on the SATs to try to spread the wealth a little bit from some of our really experienced senior teachers to help.
By the way, it's a little sequel to my story, and that is when we left that exam, we had to go to our rooms and spend a couple hours remembering every question as best we could and give it to that same teacher. He had a collection of these things.
Okay.
Totally against the rules now.
That was 1956.
Yeah, in 64 when I took the SATs, they didn't have an advanced math.
Well, they had it then.
Okay.
It made a big difference.
Okay, maybe, is there anything else right now? Move on to exec session. Chris, since you've been new here, are there anything you want to ask us now since we're pushing everything right on real quick here?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm still just taking it all in.
Okay. All right. Well,
there's a lot.
Feel free to ask any of us, okay? We'll do what we can to bring you up, okay?
Well, I guess the seventh substance of that conversation is you got the math department looking at it to see what the AP math will look like. It's going to be a combination of things, right. And if they can get, I mean, they must know what the SATs are doing.
They do, and all the AP courses are in the schedule.
And right, and point it towards that as well.
Ask them to come. I asked the principals today to plan on coming to the first board meeting every month for the school year and giving a report on what's going on in the buildings, rather than me asking them to report on certain topics. I've asked them to decide what it is that you need to be aware of. So, and I can ask them, I can, but again, here I will ask him to speak about this particular issue, because it is something that is, it became a real big issue overnight.
Yeah, and I do think some thresholds on some, I mean, there's 19 kids in AP US History. Now, I don't know, maybe there were, maybe that's from three different grades, I don't know, but that's kind of all I'm saying is it would be nice to see whether, what even the class grades were, a distribution of the class grades, to see if our intent is to help raise the level of education. I think you need to be fair to both the kids who probably shouldn't be in it to begin with and the kids who would get more if you weren't trying to teach to quite so wide.
So, too, I think you should have to earn your position in that class. I do think so. I mean, and, you know, maybe there's some kind of, like, appeal process or, you know, something like this special exception, but I think the presumption should be you have to earn your position in that class.
Mm-hmm. And we put that in seventh grade for this year in math.
For the honors, yes.
But there is the appeal. If somebody really feels strongly that their child should be in there, they can speak to the teacher, and the teacher, last year's teacher, can say, okay, have a shot at it. Mm-hmm. And we've scheduled it so that if the kid does get in, or any kid gets in and doesn't do well and wants to step back out, they're the same period, classes are parallel, so there's no big schedule change, it's very quiet. The same thing with Honors 9 English, we're finally one of the honors class, but it's the same period as regular 9th grade English, so if a kid opts out, they don't need to change
their schedule.
Are you equating honors and AP as the same thing?
Honors and
AP? Well, no. But,
I didn't think so.
No.
Okay.
But in any case. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. We move, make a motion to move out of public session into a tech session.
So moved.
Particular history. Particular person.
That was another thing from the legal, in the way of discussion, and that's one reason I want to bring